Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, July 11th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. An iconic Sitka figure is returning to town this summer in book form. Author Lori Haight has collected the poetry of her late husband and longtime Sitka fisherman Harrison Smitty Smith in a volume called The Fishing Poet. Haight has also published her own memoir, First Time North, A Young Woman's True Alaskan Adventure. Haight spoke with KCAW's Robert Woolsey.
I very seldom let the emotion of fear enter into my life. I'm curious, excited about things, and with the possibility of meeting lots of very interesting people and the promise of making some money, it's what I needed to do. And it changed my life completely, 100%.
That was how Lori Haight felt in 1974 on a break from her job working for Blue Cross as she walked the docks of the Fisherman's Terminal in Seattle looking to sign on as a deckhand aboard an Alaska-bound troller. 2 years later, she was the skipper of her own boat, fishing part-time out of Juneau. Her life with Harrison Smitty Smith began in 1979. When her career as a professional deckhand aboard yet another boat came to an unexpected end during the middle of the fishing season.
And I wasn't getting along with the captain and there were no fish, so he took me into Pelican and dropped me off. He basically fired me. And Smitty had a lady fishing with him that wasn't strong enough to cut the heads off of the fish. He freezes his fish at sea. So he was firing her.
Haight signed on aboard the Sea Miner with Smith, and they remained partners for the next 32 years. Haight has recorded her early experiences in fishing in a new memoir, First Time North, A Young Woman's True Alaskan Adventure, which she self-published. She also stitched and bound each copy of the book by hand. Haight is no newcomer to the world of self-published books. She's published 3 previous volumes of Smith's memoirs. She's also just released a collection of his poetry called The Fishing Poet.
It's divided into a couple of different parts, the back or the dark side and the belly and the light side. So some are very light and fun and some are kind of dark and controversial. He didn't hold back.
Smith was prolific and an admirer of the work of Robert Service. As some of that great poet's words are commemorated in Sitka in front of the Pioneer Home, so are Smith's. Here's Haight reading an excerpt of his Mount Fairweather, which is mounted on a bronze plaque in Thompson Harbor.
Here's what it's like on the Fairweather grounds when the air is crisp and clear. Fishing 40 miles offshore and the foothills disappear beneath the ocean surface, and all that's left to show is a mountain range, clean and white, solid ice and snow. Knife-edged drifts and shadowed crags. The highest peak of all is mighty Mount Fairweather, 15,000 plus feet tall. It's looking o'er me in silence, yet it seems to say, this is the place where you belong, and this is where you'll stay.
Haight and Smith fished out of Sitka until 1985, the last year in a 53-foot steel catch called the Aquavit, which they had built. After retiring from fishing, they sailed the Aquavit for several years in the South Pacific. Smith died 8 months ago. Haight says the current owner of the Aquavit will meet her here in Sitka to take some of his ashes to the Fairweather grounds. Haight knows that other stories are being written every day on the fishing grounds in southeast Alaska. She hopes others take advantage of the changes in the publishing trade to contribute to the record of their times.
Everybody has a story, and it's not that hard to self-publish your work, especially nowadays when you can put it all on Kindle books, you know. Write them down.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Lori Haight will sign copies of her book and copies of The Fishing Poet today between 2 and 4 p.m. at Old Harbor Books in Sitka. Officials are considering a reduction in seasons and bag limits for federal subsistence deer hunting on the Lindbergh Peninsula on Kuprianoff Island near Petersburg. The proposed changes would mirror those made by the state wildlife managers for that area earlier this year. Joe Vicknicki reports.
The state is asking for the changes in federal regulations to mirror shortened hunting time and the bag limit for state hunting rules that was approved by the Alaska Board of Game back in January. The state board reduced the 4-month season, which normally runs August through November on the Lindbergh Peninsula, down to a 2-week season in the second half of October. The bag limit was also dropped from $2 down to $1. Those are the same limits for nearby Mitkoff Island, where deer numbers are also low. At a video conference hearing at Ranger District offices in Petersburg and Wrangell this month, Alaska Department of Fish and Game wildlife biologist Rich Lowell explained that the Federal Subsistence Board would not normally be able to address the state request until next year.
So in effect, if we didn't take this special action request to implement out of sequence, if you will, then the changes made by the Board of Game would in fact be made moot, because everybody here is federally qualified and continue to operate under the federal regulations. Mm-hmm. So we felt that the situation was critical enough that we needed to take action immediately rather than wait for the federal regulatory process to catch up.
A separate proposal has been submitted to the federal board, which will consider making the change permanent early next year. The request up for a hearing this month seeks an emergency reduction for this year's hunting season, which is set to start August 1st. Residents of Petersburg, Kuprinoff, and Wrangell weighed in on both sides of the proposed hunting reduction. Kuprinoff's Dave Beebe questioned the Forest Service's past decisions to log deer habitat on the peninsula.
Many environmental impact statements have documented and forewarned what will happen in terms of the consequences of the removal, the disproportionate removal of deer winter habitat, high volume, old growth on south, essentially south facing slopes, below elevations of 800 feet. And unfortunately, that's where most of the logging is occurring.
Becky Knight of Petersburg agreed that deer numbers have not been high in that area and said it was an important food source for her family.
I support the Board of Game action as well as this proposed federal action to bring that season in line with the state season, not only because it's the right thing to do for the resource, but to avoid confusion by hunters. My support is accompanied with sadness because this situation was entirely preventable had there been a much lighter historical touch on the Lindenberg, accompanied by a delay of any additional logging there until the area fully recovered.
Knight and Beebe both asked for an emergency closure of the Tonka timber sale on the Lindenberg Peninsula. That's a harvest of 37 million board feet off of national forest land on the island's road system. Viking Lumber of Klawak is cutting that timber this year. Bob Lippert of Wrangell said his biggest issue was with the federal designated hunter program. Federal law allows a qualified subsistence user to hunt on behalf of someone else with a permit, with no limit on the number of other qualified subsistence users that a hunter can hunt for.
That, to me, seems to be something that should be changed. There's a great amount of potential for abuse there. It doesn't really take into account true subsistence. It's just a way for people to shoot lots of deer.
The proposal for a permanent hunting reduction will be going through the Federal Subsistence Board process this fall and winter, including a vetting by the Subsistence Regional Advisory Council for Southeast. The issue will be up for a recommendation from that group during a meeting planned in Petersburg September 24th and 25th. In the meantime, Acting District Ranger Jeff Miller will be making the special action decision for the upcoming season prior to the start of that season, August 1st. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
The Fireweed 400 will have a few obstacles this year, but officials are still expecting a great race. According to officials, the race has 750 participants from around the world signed up for this year's event. Race director Peter Lekish says there is a record number of racers competing in the 400-mile race.
And we have a large group of 400 riders this year. There are over 20, and there are 8 relay teams that are doing the 400. So we have in the neighborhood of 80 to 100 people that will be involved in the 400-mile bike race this year, which is the largest we've ever had.
Participants in the 400-mile race go from the Sheep Mountain Lodge to Valdez and back. Those in the 200-mile race only go to Valdez. Lekish says racers will also have to deal with construction on the Glen Highway outside of Glen Allen.
And we are going to allow the riders to put their bicycles in a vehicle and go through this construction area without any adjustment of time. And we are still in the process of wrestling with what happens if a rider doesn't have a support vehicle.
Lekesh says officials have sent letters to Granite Construction asking to help those unsupported riders. The construction area spans 15 miles, but racers will only have to deal with at least 5 miles. There's also construction on the Richardson Highway near Valdez. That's expected to be completed in time before the race. The 11th annual Fireweed 400 begins this Friday at 9 a.m. Alaska's U.S. senators have split on moving forward with a bill that would have restored lower interest rates on federal subsidized Stafford loans for a year. The vote was 51 to 49. 60 votes were needed to move forward. Democratic Senator Mark Begich voted yes. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski voted no. The measure was intended to provide time for comprehensive college affordability legislation and to avoid higher interest rates on new loans. The loan rate doubled to 6.8% on July 1st. Begich, in a statement, expressed disappointment in the vote, saying leaders should be making college more affordable. He says big banks shouldn't get better rates than students on federal loans. Murkowski said students deserve the lowest rates possible and a permanent solution. She says she's optimistic one can be found. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And now a look at Sitka's own weather. It's currently 55 degrees downtown Sitka under partly cloudy skies. Today, expect scattered showers mainly in the afternoon with highs around 60. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers, areas of fog late, lows around 51. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.